In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me here in a couple minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. Wish to contact us? The email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, and at player.fm. You can also listen to the station using our Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can use any phone using our 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing 605-562-4209. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM and FM and digital affiliates, WJNW AM 1650, Hermiston, Tennessee, Talk Radio AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, Kaufman County Talk Radio AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, WDFP, Digital Radio, Atlanta, Georgia, and Tax Radio Pro, I think. I don't have it right here in front of me. I should add it to my list. Gainesville, Georgia, I think. If I remember right. With that, let's go ahead and bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. How you doing today, Mr. Brown?
It's a pretty day here in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, it is here, too. Yesterday was real nice, too. We won't bore everybody with the talk of Avengers, except to say it's a good flick and you should go see it, probably. I think that's pretty much
I think they're good. They're going to see it anyway, Primo.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a problem. They're not going to have a problem getting people to watch their film. There was a big crowd when I went, and I know you went, and you even went early in the morning on Saturday, and there was a pretty good crowd. And people lined up to see the thing. And, you know, the first Avengers film did $1.5 billion worldwide. And I've got a funny feeling this one may break that record. And that $1.5 billion, by the way, is third highest all-time grossing film of all films. And so this one, if it beats that $1.5 billion, which I know for a fact that their Thursday night opening, the midnight opening on Thursday night, beat the original Avengers by, I don't remember how much, but it did surpass that. So I've seen all kinds of estimates for this weekend, but we'll know what they are, or tomorrow, I guess, to get the official numbers. But I'm sure it's going to do well. It's going to do well. And this is one of those deals where you probably won't see it twice, so you can catch the stuff you missed the first time. There's a ton of action in this thing. So,
which they love to hear that.
Oh, yeah. That's how you get to $1.5 billion of people nerdy people like us who go two and three times to see something.
I told you before we started that I'm going to go see it again.
I probably will too. I may give myself a few days, maybe even just go next weekend. Give me something new next weekend. My life is so.
After the crowd dies down a little bit.
Yeah, the crowd will die down a little bit. After two, you know, here's the thing. I read an article that, again, we're getting off the subject here, but movies, the way things are nowadays, you have to build an audience quick, and literally 60 to 70% of their total take is on the first weekend. The first week it's out, in other words.
Yeah.
And then after that, it usually drops down pretty good on the second week. And after the second week, you've done about 90% of what you're going to do. Most movies.
I think because trailers make a movie look very, you know, they take the best parts of the movie, of course, and they put them in the trailers. And if there's no storyline behind it, it's kind of like, well, people go see it because of the trailers. And then they get the word of mouth after the people have already seen it and go, oh, no.
Don't waste your money. That kind of thing.
You need that first, that initial 1 week, you know, bump in your money. But that's, if it's not a good movie, it won't last.
Well, and of course, if it's a horrible movie, it usually will have low numbers even the first weekend. But the thing is, it is a rare thing that the second weekend outperforms the first weekend. It just about does not happen unless there's a really stiff competition that same weekend. Maybe they get a bump the second weekend if the other one is dropping off a little bit, kind of a thing. That happens occasionally, but but these studios know what they're doing, and they're always moving dates up and down based on their competition. They do that constantly. It even happens with some of the big ones. It's recently, you know, the Batman v Superman thing and one of the Avengers deals were going to open supposedly on the same weekend. And they sit there and stare at each other for a while, and then basically DC backed off and decided that it'd be better to pick another date. So anyway, okay, let's get started. Before we start, number one, Friday, this past Friday, Red State Talk Radio, the network that we are featured on, and we broadcast on, has reached its fifth anniversary. It's 5 years old, and I started the network 5 years ago with basically zero listeners, because when you first start out, you know, who the hell knows who you are, and how the hell do you get them there, and all that kind of stuff, and we've grown a ton, and doing pretty well now. We could do a lot better, obviously. You always want to do better, and I would hope that within 5 years from now, assuming I'm still kicking, that we're doing much, much better. But 5 years is 5 years. That's pretty good. One thing we'll talk about before we get into the stories, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but at least needs to be said. We have a show on Red State Talk Radio called America Talks. It's hosted by David Zublik. Now, if you've never heard of America Talks, if you've never listened to a show, there's a funny feeling that you may pretty soon, because he does a live show here on Saturday mornings from 9 to 12. It's replayed again on Sunday mornings from 9 to 12 a.m. And this weekend, yesterday, on Saturday, David did his show like normal. And during his show, he noticed that his home telephone was ringing off the hook. Now, he has it silent so it doesn't interrupt when he's doing his broadcast. But he was wondering all the time while he's doing his broadcast, I wonder who's calling me, and keeps calling. So he finishes the broadcast. And so when he finishes the broadcast, the phone's ringing. He picks it up. And the person on the other line says, we're the police, and we've got your house surrounded. And we've been informed that you have killed your wife and your children, and we want you to come out of your house with your hands up. So apparently I'm bored again. I think he's taking a nap.
No, you already told me the story, so I'm going to let you finish.
Take a little nap then. Okay. Anyway, no. So he goes outside. He has his hands up. You know, and they throw him on the ground, they handcuff him and do all this stuff, and they ask him to go inside his house, and he goes in, and they find, of course, there are no bodies or anything. His wife and daughter were away from the house. They were involved in a theater group, and so they were not at home. And to make a real, real long story short, David was the victim of what they call swatting. We all know about SWAT teams on the police force, where they come in, you know, with all this gear and stuff. Well, apparently, this is a thing that's going around now. People will call in 911 and claim a dire emergency, a murder, a kidnapping, whatever, in order to try to get the SWAT team to go and raid somebody's house. Well, this happened during David's show. Someone made a phone call. Obviously, it was a bogus call. But the thing is, I don't think it's a coincidence that he's a conservative talk show host and he's doing his show, which is, by the way, a very highly rated show. Matter of fact, I think he's been our number one rated show the last 2 months in a row on Red State Talk Radio. So he gets a lot of listeners. He's on several networks besides ours. We're his home network, but he's on several other networks. And I don't think it's just it's not a coincidence that because he's a conservative talk show host, he happens to get swatted during the middle of his broadcast. It'd be one thing if they did this to him on a Wednesday, but when he's doing his show from 9 to 12 on Saturday, this happens. Well, what's so funny is when everything's all said and done, one of the detectives comes up to him and says, I don't know if your internet show is popular or not. He said, but I think it's going to be after this. And then one of the uniform cops in blue comes up to him and says, I was listening to your show while we were waiting outside for you to come outside. He said, and I'm going to tell you, I believe almost every damn thing you said. I agree with almost everything you said on your show. So I thought that was kind of neat. But anyway, he's already been approached. Yeah. He's already been approached. Donna Fiducia, who used to be at Fox News, she's over at WDFP, which is kind of a sister station of ours. We do some work together. They've already confirmed and got nailed down. They're going to record an interview with David today. He's going to play on their show on Tuesday. Their show is broadcast on Tuesday nights. Matter of fact, it's on Red State Talk Radio. We carry their show. It's on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. So you may want to take a listen to Red State Talk Radio Tuesday at 9 and hear David's interview with Donna Fiducia. should be interesting. And anyway, I just thought anyway, Ken, if you hear any black helicopters while we're doing the show,
I'm about to say I'm looking at my window right now.
I guess I should. It may be difficult to find Ken Brown in Atlanta. I don't think it'll be difficult to find Primo Mondone in Cleveland, Tennessee. I don't think I'll be too tough to find.
That's how I found you in the beginning. Was, you know, we haven't talked in years and years, you know, after college. And I found Primo on Facebook because how many people have Primo Mondone as a name? So I said, he should be easy to find. And sure enough, boom, popped right up.
Matter of fact, I was the only one popped up, right?
Yeah, there was not another Primo Mondone.
Well, go to Facebook, type Ken Brown, see how many people you get. And then
yeah, good luck with that.
You won't find this Ken Brown unless you just really go through a lot of pages of stuff to get to him.
A lot of hunt.
Anyway, so check it out and be sure and listen to his interview on Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, here on Red State Talk Radio. Okay, let's talk about this Baltimore stuff. What a freaking mess. Good Lord. Now, Ben Stein wrote a good article. It's on redstatetalkradio.com about what's happening in Baltimore. There's a lot of reasons what's going on. First of all, this whole thing with this guy dying, and it looks like it may be the police's fault. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to do a rush to judgment kind of thing. But what I think is, I don't know about you, Ken, but everybody talks about race. It's all about race and the cops and blah, blah, blah. Well, they charged six cops this week, which, by the way, they came to this decision very quickly, I thought. But they charged six cops, and guess what? Of the six cops, you got three whites and three blacks, and one of them is a woman. One of the black people, cops being charged, is a woman. And so, Are we supposed to believe that three black cops helped?
Wait, now you keep going because you got a black police commissioner, you got a black
black mayor, mayor, black police commissioner. Many of the city councilmen are black. I mean, you know, Baltimore is has a lot of black folks in it. It just does. So that explains why they have a lot of officials in their government that are black. I mean, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that, obviously. But so basically, you have a black, essentially a city full of black people with black administration, black cops, and it's all Whitey's fault.
That's what I don't know. Is it racial, or is it police brutality, or both?
Or, I mean, again, we don't. Nobody knows what really happened except the people who were there. But normally, when something like this happens, it takes weeks or months before an indictment comes down and before someone is charged with a crime. This happened in less than a week.
Yeah, I just.
Are they doing that just to calm things down? Is it because of politics that they're doing this?
I think so. what do you have? You just had a new attorney general appointed, a black woman, you know, and so she's got to make her mark. You know, she goes on TV and she's trying to take control. And her speech sounds more political than anything else, and I'm thinking, why you shouldn't be making political speeches.
She shouldn't even be involved, really. This is a matter for the Baltimore people.
But that's the whole point, though. I think is that the federal government wants to take over this. They want to take over everybody. You know, that's police. It's a federal government decision on who gets punished, who doesn't. That's the problem with big government to me.
Well, another thing, I don't know if you read this or not, but I don't know if you know this or not, but the White House has appointed, or whatever, whether you want to use the word appointed, but guess who their contact is in the White House with the Baltimore situation is, guess who? Valerie Jarrett.
Oh, really?
Which, as we know, is probably the power behind the president, so to speak. And you know what side she's going to come down on.
Well, look at the mayor. The mayor of Baltimore, in her speech, just two things she did was just totally, I'm like, huh? One was she said she invited Al Sharpton to come to Baltimore. That was one. And the first one was in her speech, the first speech she made was that she was going to give the protesters room to destroy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're going to give them room to destroy?
And another thing she said, too, and I'm sure you read this, too, is that she told the police to stand down, that it's only property. They're only destroying property. In other words.
Yeah. I wish it was her property.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, if you're thinking about investing your energy, your time, and your money in putting a new business in Baltimore, are you gonna put a business in Baltimore where the mayor says it's only property?
I'm finding another city, not Baltimore.
I wouldn't even put a hamburger joint in Baltimore at this point.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Baltimore. No.
I mean, they torched a CVS pharmacy. I'm not sure why, but.
I tell you why they did that.
Burn it down.
Dilute it. That's what they went. It's anybody that thinks that violence. Did you learn nothing from Martin Luther King Jr.? Did you learn absolutely nothing from that? I mean, back in the 60s, when things were so bad and violence got you nowhere. It just makes no sense to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about all the changes that came about because of Martin Luther King and his courage. And as far as I remember, now you correct me if I'm wrong, Ken, I don't think he ever had a violent protest, ever.
No.
And he sure as hell never torched a business, and he sure as hell never set cars afire, and they never had started throwing rocks and bricks at police officers. I mean, that just did not happen. Now, it did happen. Some of that stuff did happen in the 60s, but not when Martin Luther King was involved, ever, that right. I know of anywhere. I mean,
right.
And so who had the most effect and change to the 1960s? It was Martin Luther King who did everything in a peaceful and positive manner.
Right. And that's then I think that the big point here is legitimate protests. And then you've got the looters, then you've got the criminals, you've got the people that are taking advantage of a situation. They go in and torch something just so they can loot a business, just so they can get something, make, you know, get their own gain from something. It has nothing to do with the protest is just an excuse.
Well, I saw a photo on Facebook. I don't know if you saw this one or not. And it was a meme where someone taking a photo of someone coming out of that CVS, okay? And it says, there's nothing that says that you care about police brutality and the death of this guy, but whatever. I forget what it said, but is it nothing says it more than looting an armful of condoms. The guy literally was coming out of the CVS with an armful of condoms that he was stealing during the looting. Now, if I were going to loot a drugstore, I think I'd be looting something else other than condoms. Not that I would do it, but I'm just thinking, where's the guy's head at? Of course, I guess we all know. <That's this.
laughs> I would have think that comment, Primo.
Yeah, maybe she did. Yeah, okay. I can't help it.
Oh, that's too funny.
It just wrote itself, you know.
All right.
Okay. Anyway. But anyway, I mean, so this whole point of them caring and I mean, this is bullshit. It's just total BS. God, they could care less about this guy, this poor guy that died. I mean, that's just.
I am glad that they go after they take their films and stuff and people that do loot and they go after them. You know, and then they arrest these people. If they can find these people, they get them and they arrest them.
Yeah, they should. There's
hundreds of arrests based on people that are actually stealing things. And you're just thieves. You're just criminals. You do stuff like that. You're not protesting. And that's the part that makes me sick.
Yeah, I hope they prosecute me to the fullest extent of the law. Now, whether that'll happen, what I find funny is that the district attorney and stuff, and they already pressed charges on these six cops, right? As far as I know, they basically have done. I don't know. They basically let like a lot of people go over all this looting and stuff, and just the whole attitude's just wrong. It's just not the way to do things. It just makes no sense at all to me.
It was nice to see that mom, you know, go after her son. That when it was a beat down, you know, what are you doing out here? And she beat him all the way down the street, trying to rip his mask off and his hood off. And she's made the rounds on the media circuit, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's actually been interviewed at least once or twice, and. I think she should be Mom of the Year in Baltimore, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, like New York Post said, you know, the caption was sending the moms. And it's true. I mean, most of those kids were just that. They were kids, looters and not protesters.
Well, at least that one day, there was some social media stuff that went out got out on Twitter and Facebook, I don't know. And they timed it to where, and they basically were encouraging all these kids to show up right after school that one day. And so one day, it literally was, as soon as school let out, bam, here they came, you know. And that didn't explain the entire week worth of riding, you know. But
well, that's another thing that the mayor did, or is that the day after the initial protest, or whatever you want to call it, they closed the schools. And I'm like, we close the schools. What are you going to do? You put those kids
out on the street,
middle school, and you're putting them back on the street. What are they going to do? They're going to go down to Baltimore, the city, and you're making that protest or whatever you want to call it, that riot, bigger and more unmanageable.
Well, another thing that was questionable, I thought, was they were having a baseball game. The Baltimore Orioles having a baseball
game.
The first thing was they were having a baseball game, and the ridings were going on, and they had everyone stay inside the stadium because they couldn't, felt like they couldn't protect them, and to stay inside the stadium for their own well-being. And I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. Who the hell's in charge here?
Well, not just that, Primo, but they canceled the ball game the next day, and then the third day they played the game without an audience.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough they canceled the game, but like you said, the game where they had the two teams showed up, and there was no one in the stadium. They did not have it open to the public. The only people in the stadium were the players themselves and the media in the press box, and that was it.
Yeah.
Not a single fan in the stadium. And there was a thing on again, I think it was on Facebook, where a guy hit a home run and said, this will be the quietest home run you ever heard in your life.
Yes.
Because there were like maybe 20 people clap. I mean, it was the guys on the one side. Just nuts. Nuts. But what I'm getting at is you're playing into their hands when you do stupid stuff like that.
I agree.
That's just, you should go ahead and do what you normally do and come hell or high water, stop whatever happens.
Like the comment of, we'll give them room to destroy. Yeah. I'm like, what? You're going to give them the permission to take out a business or wherever? Whatever your room, quote unquote, is?
Yeah, it's nuts. Hey, we're a little bit over time. We got to go to break. But when we come back, we got plenty more to talk about. Stick with us. Thank you for listening. Be right back.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Commerce.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
America's premier grassroots conservative talk radio network.
Red State Talk Radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Mr. Speaker, get me a doctor.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Primo Mondone, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month, so please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster. Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Are you a homeowner at least 62 years young? Need extra money to make ends meet? With a government-insured reverse mortgage loan, you could use the money as you choose. If you need money, a reverse mortgage could be a real blessing. There's no monthly mortgage payment, and you still own your home. Plus, you can use the money to pay off bills, make ends meet, or as you see fit. If you're a homeowner at least 62 and you need money, make this no-obligation call right now and learn how a reverse mortgage may allow you to eliminate your mortgage payment, remain in your home, and get extra cash. Call right now, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254. That's 800-365-7254. Borrowers are responsible for paying taxes and insurance. AAG offers FHA home equity conversion loans. AAG is based at 3800 West Chapman Avenue, 3rd floor, Orange, California, 92868. Visit AAG.com for more information. NMLS number 9392.
Red State Talk Radio,
the talk monster.
Okay, we're back. I guess we talked enough about Baltimore. there's an article on Red State Talk Radio from the American Spectator. Obama flunks the constitutional test. You might want to take a look at that. That's actually, it's pretty lengthy, and you'll have to click the link at the article on the website to read the entire article. But for supposedly a constitutional scholar, which, by the way, I don't think anybody thinks he's a constitutional scholar except himself. Let's get that straight. But it just goes to point out that for a constitutional scholar, he apparently doesn't know the Constitution very well, because almost every time the Obama administration has gone up against, gone into court with the Supreme Court against issues they thought were constitutional in nature, he's got his butt kicked almost every time. And it seems that he and his Justice Department, which, of course, until recently was run by Eric Holder, their interpretation of the law is at least skewed, at the very least, if not just completely.
Well, you're being nice.
Wrong. Yeah, I'm trying to be nice. The only time I'm not is when we talk about Hillary and her,
coming, isn't it? I'm sure that we're going
to
talk about Hillary.
We'll be sure to get her in before the end of the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think it's just interesting that this guy's supposed to be a constitutional scholar, and every time he goes up against trying to give his interpretation of the Constitution, he gets his butt kicked, literally almost every time. Yeah. And this article details each one of them and where he's been defeated over and over again.
Except for Obamacare.
Yeah, and like we've said before, that required John Roberts to do all kinds of gymnastics with the law.
It came down to one guy, one judge.
One judge, which many times it is, because the court is split, kind of evenly. But what was funny is I thought it was, it almost always is Justice Kennedy who's the deal breaker one way or the other.
Yeah.
But in this case, Justice Kennedy was going with the conservatives on the court, and John Roberts, who's Chief Justice, and we all thought was a conservative when he was nominated, had to go through just hoop after hoop after hoop to come up with the crazy decision that he came up with. There's many people who think that he's being blackmailed. And there's some evidence that suggests that might be true, which we won't get into that. But whatever. But, of course, we know that the Supreme Court is taking up an issue with Obamacare, has already actually heard the testimony heard the presentation by both sides, and we'll be issuing an opinion, I think, in June or July, something like that. So it will be interesting to find out what happens with that. George W. Bush, let's talk about him just for a little bit. George W. Bush, whatever you think of him, I think it's safe to say he's a fairly nice guy. Whether or not he's misdirected and misguided on some things, which we both said, Ken, he spent way too much money during his term as president, not nearly as much as this idiot, current idiot, but still, he actually came out and criticized Obama's Middle East policy pretty thoroughly. Bloomberg has an article where Bush was speaking someplace, I forget which, where, and you need to check that article out on RedStateTalkRadio.com. He had some good things to say about our failed Middle East policy and the way things stood when he left as president and the way things are now, and made some very valid points, which we have made over the last several years. But this is unusual for Bush. He normally kind of stays away from all that stuff. But I think we're at the point now in the Middle East where I think even a person like George Bush, who in the past has always just almost refused to make any comment whatsoever, is feeling like he has to say something because it's gotten so out of hand.
It really has. I mean, it's a shambles. I mean, when Bush left, were we not like, was Iran, I mean, Iraq, was Iraq even a thought in anybody's mind about any kind of, I mean, the war was won, wasn't it? Or am I wrong?
Well, he had won the war. The question was whether or not we could maintain the peace. And at the time he left, we were. And it really wasn't until Obama came in and started trying to reduce the American presence in Iraq, and the fact that he did not renegotiate the agreement to keep American troops in Iraq to make sure they didn't lose all that they gained during the war. And he didn't do that. And the Iraqis and everybody in Iraq, especially Christians, have suffered because of it.
Well, that Putin, Syria, the so-called red lines he's drawn in the sand.
Yemen,
Libya. Benghazi. It goes on and on, like his scandals. They go on and on. A year and a half can't come soon enough.
Well, you know, every individual, I don't care who it is, makes mistakes, and every president has a policy that sometimes doesn't work as they think it would, and there are unintended consequences. I mean, that's just the reality. But almost everything this moron in the White House has done, at least when it comes to the Middle East, and really I could say just about anything we want to talk about, whether it be domestic policy, economic policy, etc., has all been a disaster. I cannot point to one thing he has done. We'll just stick with the Middle East. We won't even talk about the economy and all the other stuff at this point. Is there one policy he's had in the Middle East during his tenure that has worked? One.
Crickets.
I start to say I'm waiting. I'm still waiting.
Crickets. I mean, there's nothing coming.
I can't think of a single thing he's done that has... And the thing is, I can't even think of a single thing he's done where his theory made damn sense, let alone the results.
It all started with that speech in Egypt when he apologized. He starts apologizing for us, the apology tour. The beginning, and from that to he won't call an Islamist extremist an Islam extremist. He just calls them, you know, terrorists, and he was kind of forced to do that. He didn't want to call them terrorists.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I mean, he didn't even use that word at all, but he will not use the word Islamic and terrorist in the same sentence.
No, no, he won't do that. And we know why.
Well, but yeah, but on top of that, that's just nutty. It's like, let me tell you something. If the Amish were going on a terror spree in America, we would call them Amish terrorists.
Yeah.
Would we not?
That would make media. That definitely makes big news if that happened.
And let me tell you something. If they were Catholics, if Catholics went on a terrorist spree all across cities in America, don't you think someone would put together that Catholics and terrorists, or at least the terrorists who are conducting the acts, were Catholic and terrorists? Would that not just not make sense
to put those call them together? Extreme Catholic terrorists.
Yeah, at the very minimum, that would be the term. But if their faith is Islam and they're a terrorist, the two shall never twain meet. I mean, you know, it's just
they yell Allah Akbar every time they kill somebody.
That has nothing to do with their religion, though. Don't get confused. I get so fed up with that crap.
Well, this is also a president that doesn't. I just don't see a sympathy when Christians are beheaded. I don't see, and he calls himself a Christian. I don't see it. I just don't think he's a Christian. And even Eric Erickson said it on his radio show a few days ago that he didn't think this president was a Christian, even though he calls himself a Christian. And you and I both, I mean, he doesn't act like it. He says it, but he doesn't act it.
Yeah, sometimes your actions speak louder than words, you know, and that's just a reality of life. It's one thing to say something; it's another thing to actually put force behind it and actually do something.
Yeah, but and if you call this president out on and say anything about him, then you're labeled a racist, and that's why the politicians in the D.C. and the ones running for president. They may think it. I think they all think it, that this guy is, you know, not a true Christian, if he's a Christian at all, and he acts more Muslim than anything else. He's more sympathetic to the Muslims, but they'll never say it, because if they say anything about him, the media labels him as a racist, and they know it, and they can't do it.
Yeah, it's like I've said before. Apparently, being called a racist is worse than being called a child molester or a rapist. It used to be, I thought those were the two worst things in the world. If you were a child molester or a rapist, you were scum of the earth. Well, apparently, if you are accused of racism, that's even worse. Because these people, these politicians, our congressmen, censors, whatever, they will not come out against this president on almost anything he does. Occasionally, you hear people make comments that they think the president's doing something that's unconstitutional, this, that, and the other. But nobody ever does anything. It's like, and here we go. We'll go ahead and just float this right into Hillary, okay? The Clinton Foundation failed to disclose 1,100 foreign donations. Now, Ken.
That we know of.
That we know of. And this is, again, the iceberg analogy. You see what you see above the water. There's a hell of a lot more below the water that you don't get to see.
Yep.
And if you and I had a foundation, Ken, and we did not disclose 1,100 foreign donations, we'd be in trouble.
Now I'm getting mad. I'm getting mad because these people that we know of right now to date were $55 million, $55 million that they come back and say, oh, we made an error. Oh, Primo, we made an error.
Well, let me tell you another error they made. Bill Clinton got paid all this money for all these speeches he gave. When they filled out their tax forms, guess what? He said that all the money he got were donations, when in fact they were income. I don't know if you heard this one or not. And so everybody's trying to pass it off as, well, he just made a mistake on his tax forms. Bullshit.
Well, this is here. We're getting back to Hillary and Clinton's, and we're talking criminals here, folks. Criminals. This lady's running for a the top job of this country, and she is a flat out outright criminal.
Well, here's the thing. Both of them are lawyers, even though Bill got disbarred. But anyway, they're both lawyers. They know the law, and they do file their taxes together jointly. And you're trying to tell me that if Bill was damn dumb, he didn't know that that money was income versus donations?
He knew.
That Hillary didn't know either? Two of them didn't know that? But
how do you get paid half a million dollars for a speech? Tell me that. Anybody explain to me that.
Well, you get paid that if your wife is Secretary of State and can affect foreign policy, and or if you think that she might become President of the United States and can really have a great effect on foreign policy. So, therefore, there are countries and companies who are more than willing to pay you $500,000 to make sure they have access to you if and when they need you.
Yeah. Well, there's smoke, there's fire. No, I think there's more. There's so much fire that you don't even see the smoke.
Yeah, or whatever. But now here's the thing. Again, if this were us, Ken, and we declared income as donations on our tax forms, and we're going to have to redo 5 years, at least 5 years of our tax returns in order to straighten everything out, blah, 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 we would not only would we already be charged with a crime, we might even be arrested and sitting in the pokey, but on top of that, we'd have the IRS stuck up our ass so far, we'd have to have a proctologist to get them out.
Oh, well, they already busting the doors down without a warrant. Of course, they don't need a warrant. They come into your house, they start taking stuff away. They take your cars, they take your furniture, they take your clothes,
and they get that damn server.
They get that server. They take that server. That server would be the first one gone. But, you know, and you've had problems with IRS.
Oh, yes.
Michael,
yeah.
What I have not yet. And I hope that doesn't happen. But because of this radio show, that might change.
Yeah.
And I get so upset. So upset when I see this woman get away with stuff. And now she goes, oh, don't you want a woman president? No, I don't want a criminal as a president. I don't care what you are.
I don't want a woman who's a crook as president. That's for damn sure.
No, that's what I mean. I don't care what you are, what color you are, what gender you are.
But here's the thing with the whole thing, the Clinton Foundation and all the money and everything, it's just too much. And by the way, there's an organization, I can't remember the name of the organization, that rates foundations and charities. And the Clinton Foundation, they couldn't even give them a rating because they couldn't figure out their books. Okay? And so they basically said, we can't recommend them as a charity. But a couple other people have looked at what the foundation has done. And I've heard two different stories. That one story was that only 6% of the money donated to them actually went to charity. And the other one said it was 10%. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say it's 10%. So if you're going to donate $1 million to the Clinton Foundation, 10% will go toward 100 grand will actually go toward helping people throughout the world, whatever the hell they're doing.
Where does the 9/10 go?
The 900,000 goes for Hillary and Bill's travel, their staff.
Yeah, which I've heard is in the
salaries,
millions of dollars,
et cetera. I mean, they take these jets all over the place. I mean, you know, whatever. Trust me, they're not flying coach most of the time. I think most of the time they're either on a private jet or they're definitely flying first class. And I'm sure they buy their tickets the morning of, so they pay the full price because they don't care because it's not their money.
No, but Primo, she takes a van to Iowa.
The Scooby van.
It's okay. It's okay. She's one of us, Primo. And when they left the White House, Primo, they were a rock bottom. They were totally broke.
Well, I actually believe that because they did steal a bunch of silverware and stuff.
Yeah, I know they did.
And they had to return that stuff, by the way. They didn't return all of it, but they did return most of the stuff. I don't know if this has been a long time ago. I remember this was in the 90s when all this, when they left office.
Yeah.
But they took silverware. They took all kinds of things that, you know, whatever. And what was so funny is, do you remember the part where the Clinton, all the Clinton staff stole the W's off of all the keyboards all throughout the White House? Because George W. Bush was coming in behind them.
So, yes. So, yes.
Now, doesn't that tell you something about how petty
you know,
people are?
You know, one of the things that I've always heard, and I don't know if you've heard this before or not, but when you go to a restaurant and they say, you know, to watch how people treat their waiters and waitresses.
That tells
you a lot about a person.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably
And I think so. I think it is. And the stories we've heard of Hillary and how she treated the Secret Service when she was the first lady.
Oh yeah.
I mean, those are numerous by former Secret Service officers, agents. And if that's any indication of this the real Hillary Clinton, I don't know part of that.
Well, there was actually an incident. I'm sure you probably remember this. I don't remember when, whatever. But when she was in the White House and was first lady, there was a Secret Service agent that basically did not want to carry her luggage because his job is to protect her, not to carry her luggage.
Right.
He's supposed to be on the lookout for a guy who's wanting to shoot her or whatever. And so the thinking is, if you're carrying luggage, you're not going to be able to protect the first lady and the president. I mean, that's just, you know, someone else needs to carry luggage or carry your own damn luggage. And she got so upset, she went on a tirade and cursed like, well, worse than what most sailors curse. It was a complete meltdown. Because that this person refused, this Secret Service agent refused to carry her luggage. Now, I don't know if he went ahead and complied and carried the luggage after that, being cussed out like that. I don't remember the story. It's been a long time ago. But, again, that just shows you she thinks she's entitled or something. Or what, yes. I mean, whatever.
Of course she does.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I really want her to go in front of the committee. I want her to be questioned. I want her to have another outburst like she did before.
Everybody see who she is. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I want that to be on the news a lot, and I want people to see the real Hillary.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, she should be called to testify for Trey Gowdy for Benghazi, but she also needs to be called to testify about her activities as Secretary of State, and she needs to be called testify, and or charges need to be put against her and Bill Clinton for the Clinton Foundation and all the money stuff. And I don't understand why the IRS and parked in their driveway.
Yeah, I like I said, I made a point in the last show. This is not Barack Obama. She can't hide behind her gender. She can't. This is not a woman issue. This is not something that, you know, that whatever Barack Obama's got that pass that, you know, you come at me, you're a racist. She doesn't have that. You come at me, I'm a woman. No, that doesn't work, Hillary. It doesn't work because your past history with Bill and Bill's past history, all that stuff, all that crap that you got in your closet. I'm telling you, it's not going to work this time, Hillary.
Well, even if you forget everything that happened back in the 90s. Just take what you got right here in front of you with the foundation, all the money, and the tax problems. That ought to be enough to disqualify her in most people's minds, unless you're just an idiot. Okay, we're already out of time. Jeez. That's it. Ken, you want to take us out? Man, it went so fast. Golly.
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of time. We will see you next time.